y'all the first two in here. Hopefully y'all can hear me. Oh yeah, we up to 8 people now. I hope y'all like my little corny ass music, man. Yo, welcome back. Hey, 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 welcome back to another episode of the LeVar Walker Show. We in here full effect. Hopefully you guys can still hear me. Let me make sure, because we had a lot of issues last time. But what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of the greatest podcast on earth. It is the LeVar Walker Show, and I am here. Let me turn off my corny music. What's going on, good people? Welcome back to another episode of the LeVar Walker Show. Man, it's been a great day. It was a trying day today. I got into it. Not really got into it, but I had a real, real deep discussion from an Instagram post that I did. A lot of my views that I post, you know, a lot of times I post things in regards to the Black community. And I post those things because I'm Black and I live in the community. Okay. And when I post these things, a lot of the things that I post is really to shun like stupidity. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really to shun and shame, you know, celebrating the streets and celebrating gang culture and just celebrating just ratchet shit. That is why I do it. And I live in an all Black community. And I grew up on the south side of Chicago. So I grew up, you know what I'm saying, 80s, 90s, you know, heavy gang culture. I speak out against these things because, you know, there are children in the community who are creatives and things of that nature who don't want to be street, who don't want to be tough. And I don't believe that they really have a voice. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I was coming up, and I could be up, but when I was coming up, if you wasn't a hooper, you know, gangs and shit and street niggas would protect hoopers, but that was it. You're not protecting the creative kid, the smart kid that likes to read. And then I'm just against all that shit anyway. I'm really against us harming each other. People like to say, I was arguing with a nigga today. Ain't no such thing as Black on crime. You's a damn lie. It is a such thing as Black on Black crime. And so anyway, I did this post today. I'm going to share this with you. And it just kicked off a week. I got into a 3-hour long Instagram debate about this post. Let me see here. There we go. So I got into a 3-hour long Instagram debate with a couple of my comedian friends. So I do this post and I posted this. It says gangbangers haven't shot one Ku Klux Klansman. And when I did that post, good friend of mine, very funny comedian, goes by the name of O.D. Odell. I'm just going to read exactly what he said because I don't want to misquote him. I'm going to go on my page and read exactly what he said. So I'm posting this. Gangbangers haven't shot one Ku Klux Klansman. Am I live on here too? Oh. Okay. Gangbangers haven't shot one Ku Klux Klansman in the history of gangbanging. And the good brother, O.D. Odell, he comes in and tells me that if you don't F with Black folks, just say that because you haven't said anything about white people yet on this mayonnaise woke page. Now, here's the thing. I speak to us because I am us. I don't care, you know, what's going on in other communities. When I see gang members that have harmed Black people, this points out the hypocrisy and these gangs and street niggas oppressing their own community. That was what the post was for. Now, I got hammered. I was called a coon. And listen, you can cool me all you want, because I'm going to stand on that 10 toes down. I don't like playing victim mentality and shit. I believe in us. I believe we're resilient, brilliant, smart, greatest artists, greatest scientists, greatest everything that the world has ever known. And as I do not deny what has happened to us in the past, I am for right now and the future. Yeah, I'm gonna say that again. As I do not deny to what has happened to us in the past, I'm from right here where we are in 2023 and beyond, because I don't have a time machine. I don't have a DeLorean parked outside where I can go back and fix those atrocities. And I can't continuously look at those atrocities and say I can't, because we rose up from those atrocities. Right now, we have more Black millionaires and billionaires than we've ever had in the history of the world. Or I don't know, like maybe in any period of time that most of us who are alive know. We have more scientists, more doctors, more lawyers, more entrepreneurs. Okay. And so we need to continue this progression. What I am not, and what I refuse to be, is some type of elitist nigga that will tell you can't, or tell us we can't because of other circumstances. Like, I'm not going to say that, right? I'm like, no, we can. And not only will we can, we will. You get what I'm saying? So those are my sentiments. You're looking at a child grew up South Side of Chicago. I do come from a loving home, but we lived in the hood. We was in the community. You know what I'm saying? And I don't consider myself special. I don't do the magical Negro shit. Like, I'm so great because, you know, I have a doctorate or whatever. I believe when I see these children, they look like me. They can do anything, man. It is nothing that these kids can't do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to tell a child he can't because he didn't have, you might have been in a messed up circumstance or not have a dad, or the family dynamic is shaking, but I can look at that child in his face and say, you can. And I know it's going to be hard. All this shit is hard. It's hard. It's hard. It was very hard, very difficult for me to get through pharmacy school. It was very difficult for me to rise in the ranks of comedy, being booed several times, getting jumped on and shit. It was hard. All this shit is hard. But the thing about the hardness of it is, the beauty is in the journey. The beauty is in the failing. The beauty is in the learning. So when I talk about this, I want us to shame this shit. Fuck gang banking. The fuck? Because these niggas a street nigga. I'm not. You know what I'm saying? And we got innocent people. Innocent people in our community that are, you know, getting caught up in between bullets and shit that they don't have nothing to do with. So I'm not going to do that. And they keep, you know, we argued. And it's just like, they want to go back to history and dig in the ancient ruins and all this shit. And for all these niggas that talk that shit, you got the information, but what do I do with that? Okay, yeah, I know. I know of the atrocity. I know of the white supremacy. I know of all of that. But should I just freeze in that shit and do nothing? Can I not point out some of these hypocrisies? Let me tell y'all what's a shame. What's a shame, like, right now is the way I think we sometimes glorify, you know, just a trash-ass culture, man. Like, I think it's a shame that they had the My Pussy Pink, the booty hole brown girl go speak to children in a fucking high school. That is sad. I mean, that's sick. I'm not for that shit. and you perpetuating this shit to these kids, telling them, hey, be like that person. Like, nah. No. And the arguments that I was having was like, and you know, of course, I'm a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. Shout out to all the noobs. But then these brothers started to compare fraternities to gangs. So, and this was another comment that just triggered me too on this post. I don't know if y'all follow me on Instagram, but follow me at LeVar Walker on Instagram if you don't. But there was another post that triggered me. Oh my goodness. And I'm so like right now, I'm just so riled up. And I, you know, that coon shit, when y'all want to just call me a coon to dismiss the message, I wear that shit proudly. I don't give a fuck. Understand, a coon is a very resilient animal, a very strong and resilient animal. So I'm not tripping on that. But it's just a delusion of people. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. And anybody say the program and work, well, nigga, if it's programming, stop thinking a certain way. You know it's a program, but you still thinking a certain, like, come on, man. So somebody responded to this post. They said, the big bad male fraternities have not touched on KKK member either, but wreck each other for stupid shit. I guess they talking about hazing. And I said, male fraternities? We want to talk about black male fraternities? And I responded to this person, Dr. Martin Luther King, member Alpha Phi Alpha, Thurgood Marshall, member Alpha Phi Alpha, Jesse Jackson, member Omega Psi Phi, Benjamin Crump, Omega Psi Phi, Johnny Cochran, Cap Alpha Psi, John Conyers, Cap Alpha Psi, my ugly lion brother, Chris Stewart, who fights for the rights of black people, member of Cap Alpha Psi. All these great, great men, John Kine, it just Hosea Williams, Ralph Abernathy, a noob, Hosea Williams, Phi Beta Sigma. All these men worked together for us to have civil rights today. They were all fraternities. These were all black men who were in the fraternities. So if it wasn't for the fraternity, how do you even compare a goddamn street gang to a Greek letter fraternity? That is the delusion that I was fighting through. And I mean, it was all love. We had a long discussion. Nothing got done. It was just more so barbershop talk and shit, you know, a lot of hollering, a lot of back and forth. But dude, I'm going to stand on this shit. I'm going to keep standing on this shit. I'm not about to turn my head. You know what I mean? I look a street nigga in his face. I ain't no street nigga. So you're going to have to figure something out. It's impossible for me to snitch. I'm a citizen. You know what I mean? It's just shit like that. Just basic man principles. So I got riled up over that. Moving right along. Can you guys hear me okay? I guess y'all can because everybody's coming in here. So today, took my son to Six Flags. We tried to go there the last couple of hours. I bought one of them diamond passes. We both got diamond passes. So we could go to the park, free park, and anything. It's advertised for Six Flags that they close at 11 o'clock. They've changed that. Now they're closing at 7 because I guess there's a bunch of fights breaking out, kids acting up. And I'm guessing people have turned the Six Flags $200 pass into daycare for their children. So everybody acting out. They closed, they pushed the park hours back to 7 o'clock. And we really wanted to get in the park for about an hour, hour and a half. I talked to the guy. Security like, yeah, man, we had to push hours back. You know, a lot of these kids, man, no disrespect to you. A lot of them being knuckleheads. They're fighting. It's just chaotic. We got a new CEO, pushed all park hours back. That's all the Six Flags. This thing's going to be closing at 7 o'clock Monday through Friday. That's just what it is. I'm like, damn. And I want to kick it. You see, I'm going to tell Six Flags, just go up on the pass, man. Y'all going to have to go up on that pass 600, 700. And that'll, you know, calm some of that down. Because I think people will buy that. You know, you get a Six Flags season pass, the Diamondback, I think it's like $200. You know, people take advantage of that shit. They just drop their kids off at Six Flags and come pick them up at night. Like, that's a whole daycare that they got going on up there, man. So, Six Flags, y'all need to call me and we need to work on something. Either we need to raise the prices, or maybe y'all can hire extra security, because maybe this Six Flags is a big ass corporate company. You know, these corporations, they want to work people to death. They don't want to hire. They don't want to hire extra help. And I'm a guy that comes from a big corporation, and they will work you to death. So I need you guys to call me. Also, I want to talk about healthcare and these medical expenses. So my son had a procedure. He had surgery done. And for his surgery, I don't want to show anything to it. So I get the bill back. I'm going to tell y'all how these insurance companies ain't shit. And to any of my physician friends, I want to say this to all physicians, all health professionals, man. I'm still a licensed pharmacist, but, you know, working in healthcare, I just think every healthcare professional, from the nurses, the doctors, pharmacists, everybody should get together and not accept no insurance, go to cash payment only, and keep their prices transparent. I think if that happens, everybody will get more money, because the insurance companies, these middlemen, they are just squeezing everybody, the practitioner and the patient. They just squeezing. And so we're on my wife's plan, and her plan, you know, that thing probably kicks out about $30,000 per year goes into this Blue Cross Blue Shield plan. Now, we had this procedure. The procedure costs, from what they say, this is how they get you. The procedure costs $25,423.99. Since we had insurance, they say your discounts. The discount was $19,944.28, which leaves me with the difference of $5,479.62. And allegedly, Anthem paid $2,097.99, which I think is a lie too. So basically, this procedure, the real price of this procedure was $5,479.62. We only gonna pay $3,300 out of pocket. Now, Blue Cross and Blue Shield probably ain't pay shit. Okay. Is there a way that maybe because the reimbursement on this is going to be peanuts. I talked to some physician friends. They said, man, they ain't getting that much off that, because insurance companies take it all. So we kicking out $30,000 a year, and this is the bet, and I'm still coming out of pocket. It's a whole racket. And y'all need to get together. But see what happens to us as healthcare professionals. When we go to school to become pharmacists, physicians, nurses, you know, surgeons, they brainwash us. They brainwash most healthcare professionals to be slaves. And healthcare professionals are some of the smartest people. I'm not. I'm going to tell you right now. I had to work super, super hard. But most of the brothers and sisters that my colleagues are like genius people. They're super bright people. But I believe in the school, they brainwash all of us not to know the money, not to even have any understanding of how the money is made. That's where they keep it quiet. And we don't worry about it, most of us, because they give you the check. They give you that check. They know every 2 weeks you got that check coming. You're going to put your head in the sand, which is what most of us do. Not all, but most. We put our head in that hole. Hey, every 2 weeks I got this money coming. You got that six figures coming. So that's what happens, but the system is taking advantage of us, of healthcare workers, and turned us into high-paid slaves. That is literally what has happened. So there has to be something. There's no reason you could tell me that some dude in a suit that don't touch a patient, talk to a patient, he just sitting behind a desk and making all the damn money. He ain't done a surgery, can't balance a chemical equation, you know, knows no human anatomy, knows no kinetics, nothing, just making all the money and working the practitioners as slaves. And, you know, even you go to your physical now, you know, that doctor ain't in that room with you long. He ain't there for about 8 minutes. He can't even talk to you about anything. He has to be in there for 8 minutes and then he has to leave because he has to see so many patients. So what ends up happening year over year over year, their reimbursements from these insurers get smaller and smaller. They have to see more and more patients to keep up with the money that they were making for last year. And this is shit that's dealing with people's lives, literally. So it's some bullshit. What's happening, Miss Thornton? Shout out to you, Tiffany. I see you. Yeah. And this is a person here that say they work for Blue Cross Blue Shield, used to work there. And yeah, they just there to rob you. It's so crazy. And we just going for that shit. Like, yeah, I got good insurance. Think of my insurance. And your out of pocket is insane. I mean, I guess the only thing that the insurance will protect you from is if you just get in a real traumatic injury and need some stupid ass surgery where it's like a $2 or $3 million surgery. But hell, they still, I guess you would just hit an out of pocket maximum of about $20,000. But the insurance companies, this is what I'm saying to the practitioner. If the insurance company is able to negotiate with you and lower and discount the rate of your work, why don't you get them out of the way and just go straight to the patient and keep all your prices transparent? I think that would be the smartest thing to do. So moving right along, I'm so glad we're doing this podcast now. And yesterday I was having a rough time, a lot of technical difficulties, but I appreciate you guys hanging in there because I'm a one man man. This is it. If anything, you can watch me just build this shit brick by brick. And no, you know, I'm in it, my dining room table. I'm not in a fancy studio. You know what I mean? I'm about to move some of this shit upstairs in my house and do it. But yeah, that's it. Also, I want to talk about the state of comedy. As y'all know, anybody new tuning in here, I'm on the new season of BET's Comic View. Y'all can check that out. Hosted by Mr. Mike Epps and produced by the brother Kevin Hart. It was cool to tape it, but I want to talk about the state of comedy and where I see comedy right now. So comedy right now is just basically art, right? It is almost like if you don't get a comedian, that doesn't mean that the other person doesn't get the comedian. So you might see a comedian say, man, this guy sucks. I'm sure people look at me like, man, LeVar ain't funny, what the fuck? Fuck him. Like, I get it. And you have every right for that. But I think we're in a space now of where with the internet, with all this digital shit, you just able to put out content and allow your audience and fans to find you. People just like you for you. So comedy, I don't even know if you can judge it anymore because some of the shit I see when I can't wrap my head around it. However, I'm happy for those people's success at the same time. So that allowed me to remove judgment. And I want to say this too, in removing that judgment, it helps me to be a little bit more creative and freer because I've removed judgment on me and my show. Now, when I did Comic View, I didn't really like my set. I just thought it was okay. I was just like, ah, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what came over me maybe 5 minutes before I hit the stage, but I just didn't really feel the magic in the room. I can't really explain it. It was far different from when I hit the stage for BET's Comic View for my first television appearance. My first television appearance back in 2005, when I hit the stage, it was hosted by Sheryl Underwood. And I was young. I was nervous. I had hair out there with my big white shoes on. And we was in the theater, the Orpheum Theater in New Orleans. So funny the way that, you know, my career just goes in these circles to where I started comedy in New Orleans, ended up doing Comic View in New Orleans. But it was a magic there. You know, it was theater. People were excited. And then just to see myself or to even get recognized from Comic View was a big deal for me back during that time. So, but it's far different now. And to the comedians that did not tape, I'm just going to say, I don't really feel like any of you guys necessarily missed out on anything. I just think y'all should congratulate those who did tape. I don't think we'll ever hit that stride of a Def Jam era, like the early 90s. Like Def Jam era, when you saw all those guys just skyrocket off of Def Jam. When you first saw the Chris Tucker, the Bernie Mac, the Cedric the Entertainer, you know, when you first saw those guys, you know, just had these legendary careers to skyrocket. I think the internet and the digital landscape has made the world a much smaller place, and also with so many distractions and everybody competing for eyeballs and attention, it's very, very difficult to stand out in this particular day and age. So those days are gone. The days of going on Johnny Carson and getting you a big ass sitcom, all that shit is over with. You're gonna have to like push everything out and be consistent and just grow your own fan base. So that is the state of comedy. And last but not least, I want to get into this lie of Carly. Carly, your ass lied. I knew it was a lie. If y'all saw my first podcast, the earlier podcast, I talked about her and I knew it was a lie. So Carly Russell was the young lady who was abducted in Alabama. She was the woman that lied about being fucking abducted in Birmingham, Alabama. The one that said she saw a baby walking on the expressway in the middle of the night and pulled over, and we somehow believed her. And when I heard the story, I say, yo, something don't smell right. When she showed back up at home while her wig was in the car and her cell phone was in the car and her Apple Watch was in her purse in the car, and she showed back home in one piece, I said, yo, I smell something, because I am very, very skeptical and very, like, I just follow my heart. I can feel that shit. My Virgo sensibilities ignite. Like, when people tell me something, I'm like, really? You know what I mean? If my Virgo sensibilities will ignite, I'm like, use a damn lie. And I knew it. And she lied to us all. And this is it's very sad. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. And I'm trying, let me see if I can find why she lied. Let's see if we can find that. Hopefully I can find that on here. No, that's not my. Now, I hate when I do this. This is always, where's my, oh no, let's see here. All right, did I get it? No. I can't stand when this happens, guys. Hold on 1 second. All right. I'm just going to pull up Carly Russell. This is sad. Whenever I feel we moving, we making some type of stride, somebody do some shit like this, and then I'm supposed to sit up and act like it's all right, or anything could happen to her. You know, you had a lot of people saying that. Where is my? No, okay, I can move that over.
Damn.
All right. Hopefully, y'all can see it now. Hopefully y'all can see this here. I'm guessing. Is this, can y'all see me? Now I can't even find where the hell I put the tab. I can't find y'all now. Wait a minute.
Damn.
This is crazy. Man. Alright, I'm gonna X this shit. What am I doing? Boy, I'm gonna need me some help on this thing. I tell you that. I am terrible. There I go. I am getting terrible with this, man. I'm gonna have to really give me some help. I got my screens up. Wait a minute. Is that gonna? Yeah, maybe that'll do it. No, y'all gonna work. You gonna work for me, baby. Come on now. All right. Look at this. Look at this. You think I'm 75 years old, well. All right, Carly Russell. Now, they unable to verify parts of her account of disappearance. So, obviously, she was never abducted and she lied. And it's just unfortunate because there's 13,000 missing black women. And this is just sad. It's so sad. And I still don't know where my screen went. Let me see. There I am. There I am. Y'all sharing my screen? There it is. Finally. Boy, I'm terrible at this. I got to get better, y'all. Bear with me. Yeah, unfortunate here, but there's still about 13,000 missing black women. And let's see what they say. Let's see what they say happened. Timeline of Carly Russell case. What happened to Alabama who went missing for 2 days? Put together a timeline, roughly 50 hours in which Carly Nicole Russell, 25-year-old nursing student, missing after she called 911. Yeah, Hoover police said we know it took place at home. Police on Wednesday. Come on. Russell left her workplace Merriman about 10 miles at around 8:20. Russell then ordered food from a nearby business at the Colonnade shopping mall, picked it up. Police said she stopped at Target, grabbed some granola bars and Cheez-Its. People that eat granola bars and Cheez-Its be lying all the time. Her breath was stinking too. She stayed in the parking lot till 9:21, and then she reported a toddler on the highway. That's a good one. 911 call lasted 2 minutes, and then she went missing after 9:36. That's when she took that wig off, took her iPhone off, and just walked off. The snack she had purchased at Target was not in the cart. She took the Target. You took off your wig. She took off her wig and kept them damn snacks. Took the snack, took her wig. Let me tell y'all something. She on the highway. I want y'all to picture that. She's sitting in the car after she lied to 911. She's sitting in there, peeled her wig off, set it down in the passenger seat, took off her Apple Watch, put it in her purse, but grabbed them damn snacks and walked off. She could hear a baby crying. This is just ridiculous. Next day, she said the woman fed her cheese crackers and plate. What? Russell told police she escaped, but was recaptured and put into a car and blindfolded. Russell said she was then taken to a house where she was undressed. The next day, she said the woman fed her cheese crackers and played with her hair. My God, this is just a tear. You know, when you lie, it gets worse and worse. Like, you make up a story. And this is definitely, fellas, if you've been caught cheating, you know, if you don't want to get caught, this is some shit a man would make. Women a lot slicker than this, too. I can't believe she was this damn stupid with the lie. Women are a lot better than lying, but she just totally lost it. Had a reward for $20,000. Did y'all pay her the $20,000 just since she found herself and returned home? Everybody was trying to help in Alabama, mind you. Mind you, you know, you think of racism in Alabama, the whole community came out to help find this woman, and this was a lie. Unfortunate. I'm guessing she was over. Listen, y'all, if y'all gonna cheat on somebody, just go on and cheat. You don't have to, don't do all this and get everybody in the world involved in your shit. You know what I mean? Don't do that. I really want to know whose house she was over. And who was the dude? Because this is a side dude somewhere with a story. It's some nigga in the barbershop going, man, shorty came over, nigga. I'm like, she came over to the house. Came in there, we had cheese crackers. She ain't even have a wig on. I'm like, yo, what's happening? So, you know what I'm saying? I take in the back, bust her down, whatever. You know what I'm talking about? And then, you know, I look up on the news. They talking about shorty abducted. So, man, I'm sitting there. I'm like, yo, man, I know this bitch ain't lying. Talking about I took her or something, man, but she's end up going home. You know what I'm saying? That is the story that happened in the barbershop. All because she don't want you. 25, baby. Just say you don't want that man you with right now. Just say you don't want him. But don't do this. Don't get us all up in the tizzy and we got all these missing black people and you do this shit. And nobody, everybody was scared to say something because I didn't give a fuck. Everybody was scared to say something because people was going, oh, she's a black woman. This isn't funny. She's missing. How could you say something? I knew. So, yeah. They said she was checked into, wait a minute, we got people on here talking. They said she was checked into the hotel for 2 days. Wait, hold on. She was checked into the hotel for 2 days? Damn. Now that's a good one. She said, what was so crazy? Everyone know that a black woman is not going to leave a good wig behind. You ain't lying about that, sister. A black woman ain't leaving no good wig behind. Yes, the Kevin Hart joke, title on the highway, it's all kind of memes and shit being made. She saw a Debra. That is hilarious. All right, so I guess we can go to the end, about the end of this show, where I'm going to be taking some phone calls. Y'all just call me. We could chat or whatever. Y'all can call me right now if you would like. Call on in and check me out at the LeVar Walker Show. Let me know how you feel about Carly. You can call in right now at that number. I will be right here to answer it for you. Let me turn this on to my. Y'all can call in if you want. Now, y'all been calling all day. I put this number up here. Y'all have been calling me all day today. Now I'm at the podcast. The podcast is up. Ain't nobody called. Call the number. Let's get it in. Because this is the LeVar Walker Show. Y'all ain't gonna call. Y'all be on some bullshit. Why y'all do me like this all the time, man? Huh? Why y'all do this to me? I want to talk. Y'all don't want to talk. The whole thing I do about call me. Well, anyway, ain't nobody gonna call. What's up, Carmen Gordon? Let me go to everybody that's commented today. I'm gonna start at the top here. Phil Carroll. West Sacramento, what's happening? Basie Ayers, I see you. Scooby Love, We're not going to have no bloopers today, Scooby. Hey, LeVar, I bought your first L. Thank you, Donna. Uh-oh, we getting a call. We got one. We got a call, y'all. Here we go. Let me hold up. And here we go. Hello. Welcome to the LeVar Walker Show. How you doing? Hello? Hello?
What's going on, buddy?
Can you hear me, bro?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, who this?
Man, this is Gerald out of Columbia, South Carolina.
Gerald? Yo, shout out to Gerald out of Columbia, South Carolina. Just call in, man. So what are your feelings on Carly, Gerald? Carly Russell, what are your feelings on?
Man, you know what, man? I'm just saying, this is my thing. Imagine how many people sitting up in prison on fake rape charges because a woman then said that this man is raped her and ain't nothing happened to her.
That's real, man. That's real.
Real talk.
Yeah, that's real, man. That's real. Like,
yeah. Imagine how many people are sitting in jail because somebody then lied about some serious shit.
That's real, bro. That's real. I mean, we gotta stop this. So let me ask you this. What do you think should happen to Carly at this point for this behavior?
Man, what I think should happen to Carly is that the law should come down on her so hard that it will make someone think about doing some dumb shit like this.
And just bringing in, especially bringing in and alerting the public to this, right? And just getting a whole
a
national outcry. A national outcry. And I know she did it, but what ended up happening, it was like, people not talk to media, some people, media not talk to this a black female. And then they picked it up. It goes crazy. And Carly just shows back home. And then I wonder, at what point did Carly go, What was the last bite of the chip she ate? Like, fuck it, let me go on back to the house now.
The fact that she even thought that this would be funny or that this would be some type of joke.
Yeah, man, it's very tragic, brother. Very, very tragic.
But yeah, man, I mean, no doubt, I think that she probably needs to sit her ass down behind the bar for lying for a while, because what's going to happen when that person does come up missing and the community don't rally around going to find them?
Right, a missing person or even a baby on the expressway.
Yeah,
people gonna be.
So you know, I didn't really follow it, but you know, I'm looking at it like, man, there's just people sitting in jail right now off of a lie.
Mm-hmm. No, that's real, man. That's real. You ain't
lying. So I appreciate you, brother, for bringing this topic up and giving me the opportunity to speak. But, you know, I just think, man, that society has just gotten so messed up.
And you know what we're getting away from? We're getting away from accountability, man. We're getting away from account. We cannot continuously allow people to lack accountability just because they're a black person or a female or even a white person, disabled person, whoever. If you're wrong, you just wrong. And you should be held accountable for your actions. You know what I mean?
Yes,
to function as a nation, as a society, you have to hold people accountable. Okay? And the thing about we're all 100% responsible for our own lives. So thank you for calling in, brother. Yes, you one of our first callers on the show, baby.
That's what's up.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, that's what's up, brother.
Thank you.
I appreciate it now. You take care.
All right, no doubt. She said, where's we're gonna bring it back. We're gonna bring the two Virgos back, your mama. I might call Special K while I'm on here now. Exactly, accountability. If any of y'all want to call in again, the number's still here, because I really like the interaction aspect of this. This is the best. So y'all holler at me if y'all want to. I guess we're gonna wrap up now. Good question, but her family wants privacy. I'm sure they do want privacy. If I was looking like a fool, I would want privacy too. Hey, I mean, I'll be honest. If she was my child, I'd be like, she was a goddamn lie, and she needs to be held accountable. I don't play that shit. Not in this house. Not in the Walker household. I wish Princeton ass would do some dumb shit like this. I'm going to be the first one to get on his ass. That's how, you know what I mean? Like, nah, you're not doing this. Well, it's about time to wind this down, guys. Listen, I'm going to be, once again, I have to tell y'all my shows. I'm going to be at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. August 18th to 20th, I'll be there at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. I'm coming back again. Last time, you know what I mean? I sold a reasonable amount of tickets, couple shows sold out. So if you're in the Baltimore area, please, please, please come out to the show. If you can't make it, tell a friend to tell a friend. Wait a minute. Somebody asked, what was her motive? I don't know. I have no idea. I think she was cheating on her boyfriend or something. I don't know. Could some of y'all find out what her motive was? Is there any way we could do that? Could somebody find out? Man, it's safe where I'm going to be performing at in Baltimore. I won't be in the hood performing. I'll be performing in a nice part of town, Travis. It's safe where I'm going. It's a nice area. It's downtown. So come out. But let's see. Can anybody find her motive on this? Can one of y'all do some digging for me? Help me stick her with the bill. Yes. Yes. That's a good one. Stick her with the bill of the cost of man hours that we used to find her. Woo. Well, she's going to be having to take some extra shifts at the hospital for that shit. She's going to be a working stiff. It had to be a dude. We got her. Let's see. What was Carly's motive? What was Carly's motive? I'm trying to. I Googled that. What was the motive for Carly? Mental breakdown? What? You got facts on that? Russell. Could you find some facts on that? Yeah, what was the motive? Let me see. Disputing five theories about Carly Russell's disappearance. No. I'm trying to find it. Somebody dispute faked abduction. Y'all people immediately jumped the gun to assume the entire story of being abducted is made up and just deployed for attention. Six, simply because of the lack of information. The public concluded Carly fabricated a story of her abduction, but with an unspecified motive. Two, mental illness. The public speculates that Carly's disappearance was a result of mental health crisis. We really starting to use this mental health shit as a scapegoat. Now it's kind of getting old. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of getting old. Was Jesse Smollett having the mental health crisis? Like, come on, man. Come on. All of a sudden now she having a mental health crisis. There was nobody. Twitter users have gotten a kick out of suggesting Carly never saw a toddler to begin with. No, there was no baby out there. Drug abuse. Social media use claimed that she dropped out of nurse school and started abusing drugs. The police department, hospital, and Russell's family not confirmed any results from the testing done the night she was found and taken in for evaluation. The Gone Girl theory. Some random Facebook username Sharon posted screenshots of messaging claiming Carly tried to pull a Gone Girl and get back at her boyfriend for cheating on her with a stripper. They claim she checked into the Red Roof Inn for the 2 days she was gone. One TikToker user even pulled images what is allegedly her Instagram page showing a dispute with the alleged side piece. The police said Carly's belongings, including her purse, phone, were left at the scene. So she tripping over a dude, Russell's boyfriend, Tamar Latrell Simmons. Yeah, he was cheating. Tamar Latrell, shit. You could tell from the name what he was on. But did address those, claiming he had something to do. Okay, we got another call.
Unknown caller.
This is what I like. Let's see what's going on. Hold on. Hold on here.
To accept, press 1. To send.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to the LeVar Walker Show. Welcome. How you doing? I gave you that welcome. You ain't gonna say nothing. Did they leave? Y'all called me and hung up. Y'all ain't right. Okay. The rise and fall of the E-Wing Star Wars. I don't know, but I'm gonna go with this one. I believe it's the Gone Girl theory. She tried to get back at her boyfriend. That sounds about right. Might have been a little bit emotional, but I would just say to you young ladies, if you just move on. Hell, it ain't worth all this shit. Just move on. It's gonna get you somebody else. It ain't, you know, if you gotta do all that shit, come on, y'all. It ain't worth it. It is not worth it. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed today's show. I will be back tomorrow, but I'm gonna wrap this up, man. Wait a minute. Yeah, in raw places went to the red bug in. That was kind of, yeah, I guess that was somewhat of a mental breakdown. The red roof in. Yeah. Okay. Well, guys, this is going to wrap up another episode of today's show. I am LeVar Walker, and this, I got to get some better music in this. I'm going to figure it out. But this has been another episode of the LeVar Walker Daily Show podcast, coming to you with nothing but the truth and the news and me talking shit. So thank you, guys. Good night, and God bless. I'm out. I got shit to do. Y'all holler back at your boy.